Kings chapter 4. 1 Kings chapter 4. We're going to read verses 29 down through verse 34. We're going to look at Solomon tonight. Another portrait. This one's called a portrait of receiving. So 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29. We're going to be here and then we'll be back in chapter 3. But we'll start here this evening. 1 Kings chapter 4 and verse 29 says, God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the east country and all the wisdom of Egypt. For he was wiser than all men, than Ethan the Ezrahite and Heman and Chalcol and Darda, the sons of Mahol. And his fame was in all nations round about. And he spake 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beasts and of fowl, and of creeping things and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. Let's begin with prayer. Lord, we thank you tonight that once again we can spend some time in your word. And as we approach this time tonight, we know that there is something you want us to learn tonight. So help us to see that. We pray that you make it clear to us. Give us the understanding and the wisdom that we need tonight. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Last Sunday was the Super Bowl, right? And so we watched some of that after church Sunday night. But there's a couple of, there's always people that are disappointed, you know, with how the Super Bowl turns out. I won't point out who is disappointed here tonight, but then within the game, there are disappointing moments, you know? There are just things where like you see it happen and your heart sinks. Fumbles and interceptions are some of those. Like you see the running back with the ball and then he goes down and the ball comes out and you're like, no. Like, oh, who recovered it? And your heart is just pounding when the refs are pulling guys off the pile and both teams are pointing their directions. You're like, I don't know. Interceptions, those are heartbreaking. You know, your team's moving and they're moving the ball and then they throw an interception. But something else that's very disappointing is dropped balls, right? When the quarterback throws that ball, and as the kids say, he throws a dime. I think that's the term, right? And it hits the receiver right in the hands and they drop it. And you're like, you gotta be kidding me. We pay you how much? We don't pay you this amount of money to drop the ball. It hits you right in the hands. What were you doing? It's just so disappointing. You see what could have been there and like, oh, they could have taken it all the way or at least gotten the first down or something. But they drop the ball and you're like, that is your one job is to catch the ball and hold on to it. If you're a wide receiver, you have to be good at receiving. And I know there's a lot that goes into being a good receiver. Sometimes I think I could go out there and do it as good a job as some of these guys, but I know that's not the case, right? Deep down. But I mean, they have to know the route they're supposed to run. They have to know like where they're supposed to be, when they're supposed to be there. They have to find the openings and all of that. You have to be able to like get a step on your defender. They talk about separation. You can't run your route and let the defender be right by you. You have to be able to do that. And then probably most importantly, you have to catch the ball, right? In order to be a good receiver, you have to catch the ball. It doesn't matter how great the quarterback is, right? We had great quarterbacks out on that field. It doesn't matter how great they are if they're throwing the ball and the receiver does not catch it. It doesn't matter how great the throw was, right? How amazing and incredible an athlete the quarterback is. If the receiver does not catch the ball, then you go, well, it doesn't matter how great the throw was, right? They have to be able to receive. And when we think about us and the Christian life, we understand that we can put it this way. God is the giver and we are the receiver, right? It's God that gives so much to us and we are the ones that receive that. And I want to talk tonight about how we receive and how to be a good receiver. And from 1 Kings chapter 3 and 4, we get to see this interaction, this interplay between God and Solomon. As God comes to Solomon and God gives Solomon wisdom and Solomon receives that wisdom. And so we'll look at Solomon as this portrait of receiving. And we're going to start here in 1 Kings chapter 4 before we go back to 1 Kings chapter 3. Solomon has the reputation of being the wisest man. And it talks in chapter 4, the passage we read, about Solomon's wisdom. In verse 29, he has wisdom, understanding, exceeding much. He was given largeness of heart, which I believe is like a desire to help people with his wisdom. It wasn't just wisdom for the sake of knowing, but wisdom to be able to help his people. In verse 32, it says he spoke 3,000 proverbs and his songs were 1,005. It was a moral wisdom that Solomon had. We read through the book of Proverbs, and it's amazing the insight that is there as the words of God that were given to Solomon. But in verse 33, it also says that he had like a scientific knowledge. He spoke about all these trees, of beasts and of fowls and of creeping things and of fishes. And then in verse 34, there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon. People heard this reputation, and they came to Solomon to hear what Solomon had to say and to get his advice. But if we go back to chapter 3, so Solomon was given wisdom, but also, if we look in verse 13, it says that God also gave him riches and honor, so there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. There were rulers and dignitaries that came to Solomon and brought him so much wealth, like ivory and gold and all these different things. And we come down to verse 23, and it says of what chapter? Oh yeah, no, verse 13, not 23. Verse 13 of chapter 3. It says, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. Right? This is what God poured out upon Solomon. He gave him the wisdom that he asked for, and then all of these other things on top of that, all of this was given to Solomon. And we know where Solomon got this. Even though we see the riches that came from other nations and other kings and dignitaries, ultimately it goes back to, we know this was God. God was the one who gave him all of these things. So if we look in chapter 3 and verse 5, here's the account where we're going to be tonight. Verse 5, in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said, thou hast shown unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth, and in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept from him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I'm but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God goes on to give all of this to Solomon. And we see who God is, right? We know who God is, and we see it on display that God is a generous God. He's a God who loves to give good things to his people, to pour out his blessings upon his people. God loves to give, which matches perfectly with us because we love to receive, right? God loves to give and we love to get things. Everybody loves a good gift, right? We love a good gift that meets a need that we have. You know how it is at Christmas, right? You're opening all these gifts or your birthday or whatever. And you get some gifts that you're like, oh, thank you. You know, you're like, I'm probably not going to use this. Like, I don't see how this is going to fit in with my life at all. This will be a re-gift, right? And so it mentally goes in the re-gift pile in our mind, and we're like, make sure I don't re-gift it to that person, right? But then there's the gift that you're like, whoa, I like, this is going to be really useful. And those are the gifts you get excited about because you're like, I see how this is going to change my life and how it's going to meet a need that maybe I didn't even know I have, but now I do. And now my need is met. And it's those good gifts that we get that are useful and because they're useful, they're so enjoyable to us. And we just love to get gifts that are good. And we look at our relationship with God as the one who gives and the one that receives. And we look at ourselves as not just liking to receive things, but needing to receive things from God. And there's so many scriptures I could go to that talk about how needy we really are as Christians. Because even Solomon looked at himself and said, I am not wise enough for this task. We look at ourselves and go, we're not wise enough to be who we're supposed to be. And we look at ourselves and say, we're not strong enough. We are not godly enough. We are not who we're supposed to. We're not enough to be who God wants us to be and to do the things that God wants us to do. The demands of the Christian life are too great for any of us. The things that God has called us to, the responsibilities God has given to us, we're not up to those tasks. We do not have it in ourselves. We need to receive from God. It's not just that God is generous. It's not even that we like to receive. It's that we need to receive these things from God. God is a giver, and that's not the problem. The problem many times is that we're not good at receiving the things that God is trying to give to us. And tonight I want to look at that. How can we receive from the Lord? What does it mean to be someone that is good at receiving from God? And so we're going to look and learn some things from Solomon. There's two lessons that we're going to learn. The first is this. Those who ask, receive. Those who ask, receive. We could put it this way. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, but we won't. We'll say those who need, or those who receive, those who ask, receive. I can't even get it right. You know, this is something I'm finding out, like, the older I get, that it doesn't hurt to ask, right? And I can see something and be like, maybe this could work out, right? Or maybe I could get this person to help me with this or something. And I can go, they probably won't, right? And just assume that it won't happen and go, I'm not going to bother them. But the older I get, they go, it doesn't hurt to ask, right? What's the worst they can say is no, and then I'm in the same position I was before. So might as well see if they can do something or help out or change something. And many times when you do ask, people are willing to accommodate and help you out with that. And how many times are we told in Scripture just to ask? Just to go to the Lord and ask for things. Jeremiah 33 and verse 3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Philippians 4, 6, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Colossians 4, 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Ephesians 6, 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. One more, 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, pray without ceasing. This is what we're told over and over. Just ask. Go to God and ask Him for things, because those who ask receive. Just pray. Bring all these requests before God. And the neat thing that we're told about all these commands is God's going to answer. This is what God tells us. He says, I'm going to answer you. Matthew 7 and verse 7, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7 and verse 11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him. It puts it in the context of God as a loving Father who wants to give good things to those that come to him and ask. And 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, it says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. You know, I like the that's part in there that says if we ask anything according to his will. I like that part that's in there because sometimes we can ask for things that aren't good. And God says, I'm going to keep that from you. I'm going to not let that happen. And I appreciate that, right? Because there are things that we think are exactly what is right for our life, and God knows it's not. It's like how at a gas pump, they have the diesel nozzle that's a bit bigger, so does it fit in the gas tank, right? And that's for people to just pull up and go, let's do the green one today. You're like, no. They're like, there's people who just do that, right? Maybe they don't know. They're young drivers or whatever, and they're so they make it so it cannot fit in the gas tank on your car, so you do not put diesel in there. They're protecting you from yourself. God does that for us. He says, all right, you know what? They mean well. They're good intentioned. They have the best in mind, but I know better than they know, so I'm going to keep it from them. And God is good to us in that way. He keeps us from things that are not good for us because his will is best. But that's what he wants for us. He wants his will for us. He wants to give us those things that are good for us. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God gives good gifts to those who ask. And those who ask, receive. The Lord looks at Solomon And he says to him in verse 5, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon does. Those who ask receive from the Lord. God tells us, ask. James 4 and verse 2 says, ye have not because ye ask not. Because we don't come to God and ask him for things, we don't have those things. Those who ask receive. But I want to take it one more step further from 1 Kings chapter 3. And that is, those who need ask. Those who ask receive, and those who need are the ones who will go and ask. So in 1 Kings chapter 3, the Lord comes to Solomon. He says, all right, ask what you want. Ask what I shall give thee. And if we start in verse 7, here is what Solomon says. He says, and now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And Solomon starts to talk about how needy he is. He says, thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this, thy so great a people? Those who need ask. Every time birthday or Christmas rolls around, you probably get asked the question, what do you want? So they always want to know, right? They want a list or things that that you want. And we've all probably asked for a lot over the years. A lot of things that we've needed or wanted. But also, with all the things that we have asked for, there's a lot of things we have not asked for. For example, I was thinking back. I don't think I've ever asked for a boat anchor. I don't have a boat, so I mean, there is literally no reason for me to ask for a boat anchor, right? Eric would look at me and go, why in the world would you want a boat anchor, right? But I bet there's people out there who right now, they're looking forward to their birthday, and they're wanting, on their list is a boat anchor. Maybe it's Nano, maybe Nano. I don't know, but, right? There's someone out there, I bet, in this whole world that's like, you know what I want for my birthday? I need a new anchor for the boat. The anchor that I have is not working. I need a boat anchor. And there's someone who is asking for a boat anchor because that is a need that they have. We ask for things that we see where the need is. When we have a need, that's what we ask for. And Solomon here is facing this task of ruling this nation. And he is, you can see how like overwhelmed he is with this, looking at all of these people. And he mentions like the multitude of them in verse 8. He talks about how great of people they are in verse 9. He's looking at this nation going, what, how am I going to do this? They're going to come to me and ask for like counsel and for me to make decisions and judgments. I'm going to have to lead this people and make decisions for us as a nation that impact all of these people. And he's looking at all of that going, how am I going to do any of that? And as God brings this opportunity to him to ask for something from God, he sits there with this sense of need that's created by his own inability. He talks about himself as a child that doesn't know how to go in or come out, which seems like a bit of an exaggeration of how needy he was, but this is how he thought of himself, going, I'm like a child. I don't know how to make these decisions. He says in verse 9, who's able to judge this thy so great a people? He looked at himself and went, I can't do this. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how I'm going to lead this people. It was his inability, and then it was a real sense of the responsibility he had in the situation that he was in. In all of that Solomon had to do. And we find ourselves there, looking at ourselves and the inability that we have to do what God has called us to do. And I want to read a couple verses that to help us just think about the responsibilities that we have as Christians. Ephesians 5 and verse 8 says, you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Do we understand what that means? God is light and in him is no darkness. Do that. Walk as children of light. We go, how can I do that? I know who I am. I know the temptations that I face. We know the flesh that's within us. How am I supposed to walk as a child of light? How am I supposed to live up to that standard and be who God wants me to be? How am I supposed to live in that victory and in that holiness? Matthew 5 and verse 14 says, you're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We're to be a light to the people that are around us. And people that are watching like every move that we make and they're examining us. And then like when God presents us opportunities, we're supposed to speak with boldness and preach the gospel. And you go, how am I going to do that? Right? How am I capable of living that testimony before them that they need? How am I going to be able to say the things that need to be said when they need to be said and meet those opportunities as they arise? How am I going to do that? There's another verse, John 13 and verse 15. I have given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. And the Lord says, you do unto others as I have done unto you. And we spend a lot of time looking in the Gospels at how perfect Jesus Christ was. How can I live up to that? How can I come even close to being who Jesus Christ was? To serve as Jesus Christ served. And we look at like how Scripture lays out we're supposed to live. And we see the burden that's placed on us and the responsibility that we have to be this sort of Christian. And then we're like, me? I can't do that. How am I supposed to do any of this? How am I supposed to be who I'm supposed to be and then be that to the people that are in my life that God has put around me? We need to have that, though. We need to have that real sense of need. It's far better to be there than to be in the place where we say, I've got this, and I can handle this, and I know what I'm doing. Because it's that neediness that drives us to ask. Because those who need ask, and those who ask are the ones that receive from God. It was perfect for Solomon to be in this position. Can you imagine how it would have gone for Solomon if the Lord says, ask what I shall give thee, and Solomon went, I think I've got everything. I think I got it covered. It's not that big a deal to run a nation, right? My dad did it, I can do it, you know. And if he looked at the Lord and said, I don't need anything, well, like, it would have been so different. But here Solomon is, at this moment, overwhelmed by what he had to do and who he was and his inability. And in that neediness, he's like, yes, there is definitely something I need. And he looked at the Lord and said, I need wisdom. We need to live in that place. We're always needy, just sometimes we don't recognize it. Sometimes we don't sense that. We don't see it in our life. And maybe this is why we go through our life a lot of times in our own power and doing things in our own abilities and our own flesh and trying to muscle our way through life because we don't see our sense. We don't really sense how much we need. But you get what you need. That's what the Bible says. It says, my God shall supply all your need. And I think there's a lot of times where we just don't need. And so there is no supply from God because there is no asking on our part. Solomon is he's a portrait of receiving, and God pours out wisdom for Solomon and then so much more on top of that. He's a portrait of receiving because he asked. And he asked because he was sitting there with a great sense of how needy he truly was. Tonight, do we need enough to ask? Do we see how needy we really are? Do we see how needy we are enough that we are going to God and saying, Lord, I need you. I need this. I need you to supply this. I need you to meet this need in my life. This is what Solomon did. And we look at Solomon in this. But also, as Solomon talks, he talks a lot about the nation that he was leading. And we look at the nation of Israel and said they needed a leader that was wise. They needed a leader who was needy enough to ask God. And there's people around us who need us to be needy, who need us to ask God to help us. We have families that need us to be needy. We have coworkers who need us to be needy Christians. There are people around you that God has put you in their life to help them and to lift them up and to encourage them. And they need you to be a needy Christian. And that's who we need to be. That's where we need to constantly live. And I wonder what we're missing out on just because we haven't asked for it. Where God is plenteous and ready to give, and he wants to give to us, but he's waiting for us to ask. He's waiting for us to see that we need it enough to ask. And I want to leave you with one specific prayer request that I want you to write down, and I want you to pray this week. Add this to your list. And it's this: Lord, make me needy. Just that, right? That foundation for everything else, right? And I could say, listen, you need to ask the Lord for wisdom. You need to ask the Lord for strength. You need to ask the Lord for patience. And I could list probably thousands of things. And then you could say you missed a few. We could add to that. But why don't we just say, Lord, make me needy. And that we would just live our life saying, Lord, I need you. Lord, provide, meet the needs. I am inadequate. I am unable. But just to pray that, Lord, help me. I am needy. And live in that sense of how much we have to depend upon God for everything. Matthew 5 and verse 13, it says, blessed are the poor in spirit. The people who look at themselves and say, yeah, I've got nothing. My pockets are empty. There's nothing I can do. The poor in spirit. That's who we are, but it's not always who we think we are, but it's where we need to be. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And we're asking God to make us needy, because those who need, they ask. And those who ask, God has said, they receive. Let's close with prayer. Lord, I thank you tonight for how good you are to us and how much you give to us. Lord, that we don't have to go through life and live this life and try and be who you want us to be on our own and by our own strength. Forgive us for the times that we have, for the times that we've simply run through life trying our best in our own strength. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to be needy this week. Help us to trust you and depend upon you. Lord, may that be the prayer of our hearts every moment of every day, that we would simply cry out to you for everything. Lord, even in the little ways, may we just trust you and cry out to you and depend upon you. And Lord, we know that you are sufficient and that you will give us all that we need, that you will supply all of our needs. Lord, help us to be needy this week. And Lord, we look forward to seeing what you're going to do in us and through us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.